Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, what a beautiful time of worship you've given us thus far. We pray that we continue to worship through your word, that your spirit awaken us to the glorious truths and the goodness and the riches that you have for us in your word. Open our eyes, we pray, oh God, and we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I received a text message early this morning from Miss Linnell, and she told me that her mother had passed away in the middle of the night last night. She said it was a beautiful time. She was able to read scripture to her, and that as she was reading the story of the Passion, that Jesus died, that Jesus was buried, that he rose again, and going into Acts when he Pentecost and the church, early church, what a beautiful thing it is to know that as your little loved one is passing away, they're hearing the precious word of God. Life is something that is fragile, and we all know that, and yet many of us think through on a day-to-day basis that we're invincible. We don't think about death very often, but death is very near. Death is something that is real. Death is something that even this morning we are impacted with. And as a funeral Tuesday, we will think about death. The older you get, the more you think about it, the more you prepare for it. And as I have lived a few years, I've began to see our culture began to change its view on death. In fact, when I was growing up, there was a doctor named Dr. Jack Kevorkian. Many of you might remember. He was the suicide doctor that everyone laughed at because he wanted to help people die. He was the butt of jokes on late night comedy. And now, just in the last 3 or 4 years, 6 states are now it is legal to have assisted suicide, and believe me, there will be many more. Our culture has changed from a culture that shuns death and views death as something that is the enemy, and has grown to love death. From the beginning of life and the millions and millions of babies who have never had an opportunity to even be born, till now the end of life, death is squeezing in, if you will. And while our founders celebrated the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they celebrated life. And while our early doctors and the oaths they would take to do no harm, things have changed. Death is no longer the enemy, and to many, it is celebrated as a friend. As I think about these things, I look into the scripture, and I want us as the church of the living God to have a biblical view of what death is. How do we respond to death? Do we affirm the culture of death at the beginning and at the end of life? How do we respond when those around us befriend this enemy that the Bible calls? What do we do? How do we face death when our day is coming? Because your day is coming. Even young Jude, your day is coming. We cannot escape death. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to open up Romans to Romans chapter 5. We're going to jump around through Scripture this morning, and we're going to look at a lot of it. So I hope you have your Bible ready. This morning, death and life. Romans 5:12. If you have it, Romans 5, verse 12, would you say amen when you find it? Amen. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to whom? All right, let's say it again. And so death spread to whom? All men, because all sinned. I'd like to take you through a brief history of the Pentateuch, and just the first 5 books of the Bible, but we could go on for hours, and I'd love to do it. but we can't this morning. Genesis chapter 2, we begin to see the theme of death being prevalent throughout the Old Testament. We see the process of death beginning to be get worse and worse and worse and worse. Until Genesis chapter 6 comes, and all of you know what happens in Genesis chapter 6. But let's take a look first in chapter 2. And the Lord God commanded them in verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge and good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you shall surely," what?
Die.
There is a consequence for disobedience. And the consequence is what? Death is not our friend. Death is a consequence of sin. It is a consequence of rebelling against the living God. And the Lord gave very clear instruction. In chapter 5 of Genesis, He reminds us again, over and over and over, of this process called death. That sin is reigning, even in the garden, and even when they are shipped out of the garden, death is reigning. Genesis 5:5. Thus all the days of Adam were 930 years, and he died. Genesis 5:8. Thus the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Genesis 5:11. Thus were the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Verse 14. Thus all the children of Canaan were 900 years. Days of Canaan were 19 years, and he died. Many times we look to Genesis for stories and miss the theme. The theme of Genesis is that the world is fallen and the world is paying for it. Death is real. Death is not escapable, and it is inevitable. And every person in Genesis died. Look in chapter 6, verse 17. The world had gotten to a place to where every intention of every heart was only evil. And we know, what does the Lord do in verse 17? For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon all the earth to destroy what? All flesh. In which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. Death is not a friend. Death is a consequence. We can keep going in Genesis. Let's go to Exodus. You think about the plagues, right? You know about the plagues. It's something you may have learned in Sunday school or seen in a movie. The plagues were responses to Pharaoh's hardness of heart and sin against God. The Lord brings death in the Nile River. The Lord brings death of livestock. The Lord brings death of the firstborn. The Lord brings death of the produce. The Lord brings death as a consequence of sin. We go to Leviticus. Sin brings death. Leviticus 22, verse 9. They shall therefore keep my charge, lest they bear sin for it, and what?
Die.
I'll read it again. Make sure you understand what's going on here. They shall therefore keep my charge, lest they bear sin and die for it. Sin, death is not a friend. Death is an enemy. Numbers. Who could forget the story in Numbers? Chapter 21. You all know it. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Did God bring them out to die? For there is no food and water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many of Israel died. Need I go on? It's in every book. Sin will kill you. Sin will kill you. Death is the consequence for sin. Sin will kill you. And lest we think that this is something from 6,000 or 3,500 years ago, lest we think that this is far away from us, I want to remind each and every one of us, sin will kill you. Everyone in this room, sin will kill you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that the wages of sin, you all know it, is death. We're back in Romans chapter 5. The wages of sin is death. Romans 5:14. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even those who were sinning, whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one to come. I just want to underscore this. Even before there were laws to break, death reigned. Look at the beginning of 14. Yet death reigned. And it is as if death, the monster in the room, beats his chest and says, I'm here, I win, every time. Death reigns. Look in verse 21 of chapter 5. So that as sin reigned in death. Have you ever been around someone who's dying? It is not pretty. It is demoralizing. And it's hard. The world glamorizes it and wants to affirm it and wants to celebrate death. But biblically, death is the enemy. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 15, 24 says this. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is what, church? Death. Death is our enemy. And Jesus will destroy it. Why is death our enemy? I've got a few things. Here's what the world tries to do with death. The Telegraph, probably the most popular newspaper overseas in Europe. A 14-year-old boy lay in his hospital bed waiting for her terminal cancer to claim her life. But she found comfort. She found hope in the idea that science might help her to cheat death. After spending months of online researching the theory of cryonics, the freezing of bodies, and hope that they could one day be brought back to life, she made up her mind. I'm dying, but I'm coming back in 200 years. Her mother agreed that using cryonics represented a chance to resume her life once science had found a cure for her cancer. And so the world says, science saves. What does the Bible say, church? Jesus saves. Death ends our fellowship. What does the world try to do when we're cut off from one we love? They say, call this hotline or visit this website and I can communicate with your dead one. And they'll say, the psychic, the medium can help you communicate with the dead. The world cannot grasp the fact that the dead are gone. Death brings finality. And as hard as we try, we just cannot reverse it. Death is the end. Death is the end. Do you feel the weight of death? Death was the enemy in Genesis chapter 2. Death is the enemy now. Death is vicious, unavoidable, and unescapable. You can run, but you cannot hide. You will not hide from death. Revelation chapter 6 says this: "When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, 'Come.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse." Not a white horse. Who rides the white horse? This is a pale horse. And its rider was named Death. And Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, famine, pestilence, wild beasts. Hebrews says that it is appointed for everyone to die and face the judgment. And so some of you would probably ask me at this point, why am I so gloomy on this Easter Sunday morning? My Easter Sunday morning began with death. I'm preaching and have taken 17 minutes to talk about death. And here's the reason. Because unless we feel the weight of death, of the great enemy, death, of that one on the pale horse, death, and feel the weight that it is coming and I cannot escape. Unless we feel the weight of what death is and that we are part of his mission, then we cannot understand what it means to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because only those who recognize that they need to be saved can cry out for salvation. Death is looming, death is real, and death is following us. But let me give you one other passage of scripture in the book of Revelation. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? This is the good part. You've got the bad news. You've heard it. Death is coming. You will not escape. But in Revelation chapter 1, listen to what Jesus says. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet, though dead." This is John. "But he laid his right hand on me, and he said, 'Fear not.'" Jesus comes to John and says, "Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys. I have authority over death and Hades now. I have defeated death, and I am the one who is life." We were discussing last night at our party we were at, and the question came up, "Well, what's the tree of life? What is the tree of life?" And I made the statement, and I'd make it again. What is the tree of life? More like, who is the tree of life? And his name is
Jesus.
It's Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus is the tree of life, who brings life, who has conquered death and resurrects. Eli, you went underwater. You died. You died. You went in the grave spiritually that night. You came up a new person, alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you showed us this morning what happened in your spirit. That you went to the grave, a dead man, and came up alive because Jesus Christ breathed spiritual life into you. And now his spirit is in you. And you're alive. You're alive. You are not dead anymore. You're alive. 2 Timothy 1:10 says this: "Which now has been manifested or made known through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life." Let me say that again. Who abolished death and brought life. Sounds a lot like regeneration, doesn't it? So it sounds a lot like a soul being transferred from death into life. And he brought immortality to light through the gospel. You know what it was that saved you, Eli? You heard the gospel and you believed it. And God breathed life into you and you believed the gospel and you came to life. Slavery. Your slavery to sin was abolished. I like that word. Death was abolished. See, death owns us apart from Jesus Christ. And if we don't know Jesus Christ, if we are not followers of Jesus Christ, if we have not been born again, we are slaves to death. We live in fear, knowing and putting off that day as long as we can. No, I'm taking this vitamin and I'm doing this exercise and I'm staying healthy because I got to put off that day because I'm afraid. And then Jesus comes and says, no. You don't be afraid. You're mine. I have conquered death. And though you might cross that water, you have eternal life already in you. Christian, eternal life is not something that's coming. It's something that's here now for you. And Jesus said it very clearly in John chapter 17. Now this is eternal life, that you know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. This is eternal life, knowing God. Do you have the Spirit of God in you? Then you have life. Death comes and lurks at our door. But Christian, if you've been made new, you have life in Jesus Christ. Romans 5, back to Romans 5, verse 21. So that as sin reigned, there it is again, as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign. Do you see that, Christian? You are not like the world. You are under grace now. Grace now reigns through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Grace reigns over death. That weight of sin is no longer for you, Christian. That weight is no longer for you. That heavy weight, that burden that death is coming is no more for you. You have life under grace. Y'all can finish this for me. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There is death. There is death that stalks and creeps and sneaks and lurks at the door. But death has no authority over the life that Jesus brings. Jesus said, I have the keys to death and Hades. I own you. And it is as if Jesus looked at the eyes of death and says, you're mine. And Christian, he looks in your eyes and he says, you're mine too. And death has no authority over you. I've numbered your days, and your physical body may die, but you have spiritual life, and you will never die. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he physically die, yet shall he, what? Live. Praise God. This is why Paul can say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Because I'm just going to be with Jesus even more. So on Easter Sunday morning, we come together and we celebrate the fact that death has no authority over you, Christian. And this joy that wells up within you is because you know that he has overcome death, that the last enemy has been destroyed. And that Jesus says, when he says on that mountain, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, he means all authority on heaven and earth. And death has none. As Linnell's mother breathed her last in the middle of the night last night, I was under the authority of God in heaven. Death has no authority. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 and following. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. And when Jesus comes back at that last trumpet, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, listen to what he says. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And what is imperishable? That means you cannot be corrupted any longer. You cannot die any longer. Imperishable. Does not spoil. And we shall be changed. For when the perishable body, this perishable body, puts on the imperishable, and the mortal, this mortal body, puts on immortality. You see, death has been defeated. And when Jesus comes back, he comes back to renew us so that death affects us no longer. Listen to verse 54. This is beautiful. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We see John giving us this story in his book of Revelation when hell and Satan are cast into the lake of fire. And you read this, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? What you got now, death? Bring it. What you got? You see, death creeps and lurks and hides and sneaks all throughout our days. And in the end, Jesus says, what you got? I have overcome the power of sin and death. Why is this so significant? This is significant because of what happened on the cross. Remember back to Genesis 2. And the day you eat it, you shall what? Die. 930 years, Adam died. God is true. And sin brings death. But on the cross, Jesus Christ lifted up, bleeding and dying, buried in a tomb, and on that first day of the week, the ladies came to anoint his body. And what'd they say? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus wasn't dead. He had overcome. And he had paid the price for what sin had done. Jesus was forsaken by his Father. Abandoned by his Father. He paid hell's price for all who would believe. He paid hell's price. Jesus paid my price on the cross. He lived my righteousness. And he paid my price. It's a glorious truth. Eli, Jesus paid your price on the cross. Every sin, every lie, everything you've stolen or cheated, Jesus paid. Death has no hold on you. Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? The sting of death is gone and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gave us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is where we come, church. Here's where we come, friends. If you are here and you have not become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repented of your sin, and said, oh yeah, no longer am I mine, Lord, I am giving myself unto you. I am yours, Lord, do with me as you will. I am walking by faith, I am following you. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Lord, I'm denying myself. I'm taking up my cross. I'm dying to myself, and I'm going to follow the way of Jesus. Jesus said, if you want to be a follower of mine, that's what you do. You trust me enough to follow me and turn away from the world. If you have not done that, friend, I want to be the person today who loves you and who tells you, if you are not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are doomed, and death has authority over you. And death will take you to hell with him. But friend, I also want to be the one to tell you that you can be saved. That the Lord Jesus Christ came to save. He came to seek and to save the lost. And if you are lost and wandering and living in fear of death, that you can be saved today by the blood of Jesus Christ. But it will cost you everything. And you must surrender yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. But friend, I also want to tell you this. If you do not surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in him, it will cost you everything anyway. Will you believe? Will you pay it now? Will you give it up now? Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you be saved? Or will you be doomed with death? Low in the grave he lay. I heard you playing it, Miss Shirley. I heard you. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose. You know it. With a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose, amen. Let's pray. Oh Father, you have loved us and you've placed your Son upon us to save us from death, to save us from that dark hour that we cannot escape. You have sent your Son to give us life before death. And Lord, as you've told us in your book, that unless one is born again, unless you're born of the water and born of the Spirit, that we will not see eternal life. Oh Lord, I pray that you birth people by your Spirit today. Give faith, give life, renew, so that your people can love you and be in relationship with you and never taste the bitterness of eternal death, but only know life, eternal life. Oh God, thank you for your word that gives us the truth. Oh God, you are good. Bring life this morning, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.